it's an incredible run for this program. If you think they've only realize they've only been in Division One at this level for short, and it takes a leader to kind of get a program to the point where they're at right now. And so we're excited about that. And you know, we had a great interview with Coach Klinkerfist, but to know that we have a chance to talk to the person who's spearheading this rise is exciting. And you know, and talk about what's happening with the tournament and with that. So we're excited to get this show up and running.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So without any further ado, I'd like to bring in South Dakota State Jackrabbits head coach Scott Nagy. How you doing tonight, Coach?
Very good. Very good. We're on our me and one of my assistants, we're on our way over to the Minnesota State tournament.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, thank you for joining us. It's a great honor and privilege to have you on with us. We really appreciate you taking the time out to spend some time with us. As we begin to get into our conversation here, the first question I'd like to touch base with you on is really quickly, you know, you guys are unfortunately, you had the misfortune of facing a really tough Baylor team in the first round, a team that seems to be on the upswing, starting to get hot. They have a ton of talent, a ton of potential. And, you know, they've kind of been an up-and-down team all season, and you seem to catch them on the upswing. You played them extremely tough, took them down to the wire. Why don't you talk a little bit about some of the preparation, how you got your guys prepared to face a team that has a level of athleticism that you may not get to see on a day-to-day basis in the Summit Conference?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we don't normally see people like Baylor that have that kind of length and that kind of athleticism. The only team that we played this year that we could compare with that was the University of Washington, who you know, had a couple of McDonald's All-Americans and some very good basketball players. And we went into Washington and beat them 19 this year and played very well, shot the ball well. Nate Walters, our star point guard, I think had 34 points and 7 assists and no turnovers in that game, and so that was the only thing we really had to compare it to. But the same point, Washington still doesn't even match up with Baylor in terms of athleticism. And I think when everybody talks about Baylor, they talk about their length, and they are clearly one of the longest, tallest teams that I've ever seen. But their best players are their guards. Pierre Jackson and Heslop are by far their best players. They're the ones that hurt us. You know, we had to focus on the inside because we're just not nearly as big, and so we had to make sure that we shut that down. And we did a great job of that. Defensively, we played well enough to win the game. Offensively, we didn't. We didn't shoot the ball well enough. We made mistakes that we normally don't make, and it cost us. You know, we're one of the top teams in the nation in terms of turnovers per game. We had 13 in that game. We usually average around 10. And those things cost us. We made 10 threes, but we need to make about 12 or 13. We could have won the basketball game.
So what were some of the messages that you gave your team as you guys began to prepare, you know, this being the program's first trip to the NCAA tournament? You know, you guys have only been in Division I for a short period of time. You know, this was a landmark year for you guys to get into the tournament. How did you begin to prepare your players for the level of intensity that they were going to experience as they began to play their first tournament game?
Well, the way, you know, having coached the kids all year, I knew that they wouldn't be afraid. You know, they weren't going to go into the game and be nervous and think that we can't play with them. We have a very confident group. We've been very good offensively all year. You know, the question for us was, you know, can we guard them? Because we feel like we can score on them. And we did guard them. We didn't score on them enough. But, you know, it wasn't like I had to change the way that I coach in order to make sure that our guys were ready to play. I knew that they would be confident. The one thing here at the end of the year that we just kept telling our guys, the message we gave them was to play like you're loved, which basically meant that you know that the people close to you already love you, and so you don't have to perform well in order for those people to care about you because they already care about you. And so it frees you up to play your very best. And so we just kept telling them, play like you love. You know, and at the end of the year, we did. I thought that our kids did. It obviously got us into the tournament. And, you know, even though we didn't play great against Baylor, we competed. And quite honestly, the way in terms of how good we played, we could have gotten beat 30. But the one thing we didn't do is quit. and it kept us in that game, and it gave us a chance even with a minute to go. We had the ball down four, so we were in that game for sure.
So, you know, I totally agree with you. You guys were in the game until the end. Again, it was a tremendous season for you all, and kind of a season that I think can mark a turning point for a program in your situation. What are some things that you all as coaches can take away from the turning experience and begin to use as building blocks for the coming years with your South Dakota State program?
Well, it's really more what the players can take away from it, because our kids, after having been to the NCAA tournament, clearly think differently. And, you know, they got a taste of that. They want to go back to it. We're in a league in the Summit that we know that you have to basically win our league tournament in order to go. And so it doesn't matter how good a year you have all year. And like this year, Oral Roberts had just a tremendous year. They won the league. They went 17-1. They get beat in the tournament. They don't go. You know, so we know it comes down to three games in March. But our kids got a taste of it. I think their expectations are higher. I think the way that they'll talk to each other and the way they'll push each other will be different. I think that when recruits come in, when our new recruits come in this year, you know, they'll be told by our players that these are the expectations, this is what we want done. And so it's really nice as a coach when you finally get a group of kids to that level, then you're not the one that always has to be sending the message, because your kids do. Now, certainly, I can't guarantee that it will help recruiting, but it isn't going to hurt it. We know that. We know that. And actually, I know that it's helped, because we've already gotten a commitment from a kid just the day after the tournament. And so, you know, things are already rolling there. We still have a couple scholarships left, and plus we'll be able to do the early recruiting next year. So we have a chance, really, to pick up two classes here coming off this NCAA tournament.
Okay. Now, you're kind of rolling right along with me. As we begin to talk about, you started to talk about recruiting. Can you share some insight into the nuances of recruiting at the mid-major level? It's a very different animal than what Coach Cal at Kentucky gets to do, or Coach K at Duke gets to do. Can you talk about how do you guys go out and find kids who fit into what you do with your program?
Well, and that's the key for us, is making sure that the players are good fits. And that's not easy to do, because you may take somebody that's not as talented but is a better fit, and in the end will be a better player for you. And you know, it's always hard to project those things. That's not an easy thing to do. And I think sometimes, like you say, Coach Cal, I mean, he's just going to go out and get the very best players he can get, which we know we can't do. And so we have to do a better job of finding kids that fit a system and can play within that system and then can develop within that system. Because for us, that's one of the most important things, is how does a player develop? And so we, you know, obviously our kids stay around the summer. They're with us pretty much 10 months a year. And the player development side for us is probably the most important thing. It's not just going out and getting this high major talent that's already coming out of high school and is a great player. It's being able to take a kid that you still see has a ton of potential, develop that potential, and then when they're juniors and seniors, that's why you look at teams like ours that are mid-major programs can play with some of these major programs, because the major programs generally are playing a lot of young kids, where in our instance, we're generally not. Now, we only had one senior on our basketball team, and so obviously the future looks very good for us. But, you know, the good mid-major teams generally have juniors and seniors that are running those teams, and the player development is probably the most important thing that we do.
Now, you're talking about player development. You guys have obviously invested a lot in developing Nate Walters, and he obviously has invested a ton of in himself. He's performed at an extremely high level for you guys all season. Can you talk a little bit about his impact on your program as a leader and as kind of your go-to guy?
Yeah, well, you know, getting Nate, when we recruited Nate 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago now, it was really a turning point for us, obviously. Now, I think sometimes coaches fool themselves and think that they're great coaches. The fact of the matter is, when you have great players, you're a great coach, and when you don't, you're not. And I understand that. And so the most important thing you can do is recruit good players and good talent. You know, and Nate was one of those kids who was very under-recruited. Mostly Division II schools were recruiting him. We got involved with him early. He didn't sign early, but he did sign with us late in April after his senior year. And we knew we had a good player. Most people recruited him as a kind of a combo guard, play the one and the two. We told him we wanted him to be our point. We didn't want him to do anything else but be our point. And he's obviously turned into a great player. He's going to be the best player as long as he stays healthy. He'll be the best player that ever played at South Dakota State. And he's going to be the all-time leading scorer, probably the all-time leader in assists. And he's done it against the best talent we've ever played against because most of the record holders we have come from the Division II era. So he's been a huge turnaround. Now, we've added good classes behind him that have been very good, but it really started with getting Nate. And when you have a good point guard, when you have somebody that you can put the ball in his hands, trust that good things are going to happen, and they generally do when Nate has it, it's a great start. And then we've been able to surround him with really, really good shooters. And so it's made it difficult for teams to guard him. Because if they really focus on him, then he's able to pass the ball and we're able to shoot it. So, playing with Nate, I think, has made these guys better shooters. And then these really good shooters have helped Nate because it's opened up the floor for Nate, and then he's able to get to the basket.
All right. So, coming off this tremendous season for the program, what do you think are some keys to taking that next step and continuing to put yourself in the class of some of the more branded mid-major programs such as Butler, VCU, or Gonzaga? What are some things that you need to do, what are some key things that need to happen at South Dakota State with the Jackrabbit program to kind of put yourself in that category as a regular in the tournament, a name that people know, a name that's respected? What do you think you're going to need to do to continue to build towards establishing yourself as a year-in, year-out tournament team?
Well, that's certainly our goal, and I think, even as you look at Butler this year, at that level, it is very, very, very difficult to stay at a very high level because you generally run through a class or two of good kids, and then it's hard to recruit kids because they're not going to play there. And so you kind of have cycles, and it's very difficult for the mid-majors to stay at a very high level. And so but when you look at Butler, Gonzaga, some of those people you mentioned, that certainly would be the goal for us. And the main thing in doing that is recruiting, is that you recruit good players in every class. When you finally get to that point, and this is the tough part, I think, for kids, because most kids coming out of high school now want to play when they're freshmen. They want to be an impact player when they're freshmen. They look at Kentucky. The fact of the matter is that most mid-major programs, their impact players are not freshmen. They're juniors and seniors. And when you've established and built a really good program, that is generally the way it goes. If freshmen come in and learn, they either redshirt or they learn, they sit. Their sophomore year, they play some and get to feel their junior and senior year, they become the stars. And that's what has to happen at South Dakota State, and that's what's starting to happen. We're starting to really build some depth and put some good classes together. But certainly that would be the goal. And some people look at it and say, well, how are you going to do that at South Dakota State? And my whole thought process is why not? We're not looking at why we can't do something. We're trying to figure out why we can do it.
Excellent. That's about the time we have. I want to be respectful of your time, Coach. I appreciate you coming on. And, we here at A Real Sports Guys and the RSG crew, we think that you guys are a team to watch. We want to continue to have you all on as your program continues to develop and become a higher profile program. We see a lot of good things for you guys down the road. So we just want to thank you for coming on, and we appreciate you taking the time out to spend some time with us here at Real Sports Guys.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having me on, too. Thank you very much.
All right, take care, Coach.
Okay.
Great interview with Coach Nagy there. Coach Scott Nagy, South Dakota State Jackrabbits. That's a team that, again, has just kind of stepped into the Division I ranks and has really begun to establish a name for themselves. They played Baylor extremely tough. Again, Baylor is one of those teams that was a team that I felt like they could beat. I definitely felt like that was a team that they can get. Again, Baylor's been up and down a bit, Jekyll and Hyde-ish all season. Coach Nagy talked about that a little bit and how, Baylor was a level of athleticism that they don't get to see very often. And the closest comparison they had was a game with Washington. But I like what they're doing out there. I like the style that they play. They're coming along nicely. And they're really, really bringing the level of that program up. And I think we're going to see them begin to make some good runs into the tournament in the next couple of years. They had a shot this year. You know, some of the interesting pieces that Coach laid on us, Coach Nagy laid on us, was the recruiting piece. That's a very different game when you're a mid-major and you're going out looking for kids in comparison to some of the high majors and the way that they can go out and kind of show up and have a kid's interest. You really have to be able to sell yourself at the mid-major level. And I think Coach Nagy has done that. And you got to kind of find kids that fit with your system, that can play a role in your program, that can fulfill a need for you guys to be successful. And I think one of the benefits of being at a mid-major is you know you're going to have kids for, you know, 3 to 4 years. You know, easy. You can always count on having kids for 3 to 4 years when you're playing at a mid-major program or when you're coaching at a mid-major program. D. Will, did you have an opportunity to catch any of Coach Nagy's interview? I know you were in the back room working things out. You know, D. Will is behind the scenes. He's like the mechanic right now. He's in the back. He's under the car. He's making sure everything is running right.
You know I'm all sport. You know, I think and when Coach Klinkefiss, his assistant, was on with us as we prepared for the tournament, he was, you know, he talked a lot about Coach Nagy, and as you listen to Coach Nagy, you get a sense of why his program's performing. I mean, you have to think about it. This program was Division II not too long ago, and in a short period of time, they have begun to put their program on the map. And to think about the kind of work, and you know, they really have found pockets of talent in the Midwest, working, you know, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, and really kind of finding their pockets of talent and molding it the way they can. And then, you know, everyone, you get a guy like Walters, you know, who can kind of do it all. That takes it to the next level. But you understand why they're successful. And again, I think what's great about this is getting behind the recruiting philosophy. There's many different ways to build a win, but you have to start with a philosophy. And it's clear that they have a vision of how they want to build the program, and they're committed to it.